Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Beau Morgan, Peach Bowl attendee. Dylan is behind the glass. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Yesterday, we finally got to hear from Arthur Blank on the future of the Falcons. I think he shared the same sentiment that a lot of us did this season, that this team was too good not to make the playoffs.
I felt that given the quality of the young players we have on offense and on defense and some seasoned veterans that are excellent as well, that we needed to move forward both in terms of a change as a head coach and a general manager.
I couldn't agree more with what you just said. I think that every sentiment he let out there, and I can't remember his exact words, Beau, but yesterday he was talking about the fans. He talked about and to the fans multiple times in his press conference yesterday, and you know, one of the answers he gave before he got up and left, I mean, he literally stopped everybody from standing up. Was like, hold on, one more thing. I want to, you know, talk to the fans and talk about what's going on. And he essentially was like, you know, I'm more of a fan than an owner, is what I felt like he was trying to say. He's mm-hmm. like, I'm here to give this team everything that they need to be successful. But in the end, I'm a fan, and I'm just as frustrated as everybody else is. And I think that's, you know, there's a lot of conversation around Arthur Blank in this town, and probably for good reason. There's frustrated fans, and I know people look at it from that perspective. But, guys, you look around the league and look at the rest of the owners, they're not all like that, all right? Not all of them give a crap. Not all of them, you know, are going to give the team the necessary tools to be able to kind of pull off what's, you know, what you think of in terms of an NFL team. So, I don't know. I like the message coming from him. If you didn't like Arthur Blank going into yesterday, I'm sure you tried to pull something out of it that you didn't like about it, but it just kind of is what it is. And I'm after listening to his reasoning about everything that's happened over the last couple months, I'm happy that they are actually hitting the reset button and doing this restructuring.
Multiple things can be true. I wholeheartedly believe Arthur Blank has had huge missteps as an owner at times.
Agreed.
But I also don't but when it comes to what's on the football field and stuff like that, I don't believe it was ever made. It was all done for the sake of winning or of the team or of the fan. And I thought it was interesting because I think it was – I know we're going to have him on. I think it was Josh Kendall's question, but I don't – no, it wasn't. It was somebody else's. Somebody asked – it wasn't Josh, but somebody asked about the empty seats and no shows. And he goes, well, the no-shows, that's not the problem, but it's an indication of the problem. And I actually thought it was really well worded, and probably why I've never, you know, well, I'm not worth $1 billion plus, because I wouldn't have thought to answer that way. I'd been like, yeah, man, stupid fans. You know what? You ride or die. Always show up. That's what I would have probably said. And he was like, no, it's an indication of the problem.
It's definitely how you feel as a player. It's definitely how you feel as a player.
It's how I feel as a fan.
Yeah.
It's how I'm a fan first and foremost. Like, I view things as I would if I'm – I remember what it was like to have to pay or not have the financial resources, you know, always to pay and be given tickets. When, you know, my dad was – we couldn't have season tickets as I was a kid. So – we would get, you know, get to go a game or two a year that my dad was lucky enough to take us to. Yeah. And so there was no such thing as a game I would never go to, right? So I can't fathom giving up, not just saying I'm not going to go because we suck. I'm like, no, I want to go to every game. So I get frustrated with it. But I just thought it was a really good answer. I don't know how you listen to that press conference yesterday and really have more questions. I thought it was pretty cut and dry.
Well, did you have – was anything not leaned into, though, that you were curious about? Maybe, like, the timeline of how everything's going to play out as far as the organization, when these hires are going to be made?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. He said we're going to get a president first and then go get the GM and coach. Some of it some of that you the way that's the way it all plays out, the timeline works easiest for you to have the president anyways, because you can't interview every candidate you want for the GM or the coach until the playoffs align the way it is, right? Like, you know, some guys you have to interview at, like, you can interview Clint Kubiak this weekend, but, and Vance Joseph, and even Davis Webb, who the Ravens interviewed Davis Webb.
What? I didn't see that.
They interviewed, I saw it, they interviewed Davis Webb.
That's crazy.
Who played? So he's only been an assistant for 6 years. He's under Sean Payton in Denver. And now it's a name that popped in my head. I'm like, well, maybe we should interview Davis Webb.
Right. But the next Kellen Moore.
But yeah. I mean, but you couldn't interview. I don't know. Name an OC or a DC that's on a team that you're. Jeff Hafley, who's the DC for the Packers.
Yeah.
Couldn't interview him this weekend. You have to wait. And I've seen people say, well, I thought that we would at least have the president and the GM announced. But you can't even interview Ian Cunningham this weekend.
Right. And there's a lot of back and forth that. And really, I said this yesterday, I want them to take their time with all this stuff and make sure it is right and make sure that, like I said yesterday, if a coordinator that you want goes to the Super Bowl, then, yeah, we're going to wait. I do think the only thing that has kind of concerned me, and this popped up with the Mike McDaniel thing, is that you could lose out on coaches essentially that, like, let's just say Todd Bowles, you know, is hiring coaches or whatever, or Dan Campbell's hiring coaches. The staffs that are already in place that are already going about that process, I think that's the only concerning part. But, otherwise, you know, let's kind of move forward and make sure we're careful with each step.
Another big question for fans right now is about the quarterback situation. And that was addressed yesterday. Arthur did make it a point to talk about the status of Michael Penix Jr. and how he feels about him.
I do think Michael is our franchise quarterback. The injury he sustained was on his other knee. The surgeon felt 1,000% secure in the medical procedure they went through, and they really felt his knee was going to be even better than it was before. He's on a successful rehab program. He's back in Atlanta. He's committed mentally, physically. He feels good. So, yes, I would certainly see that.
And, you said he was asked about Michael Penix, and is he think he's the future franchise quarterback? I saw people upset about that, saying, well, you can't dictate who the quarterback is. I just think he's saying he believes in Michael Penix, which is exactly what I want my owner to say about a quarterback going in his third year. He's the eighth overall pick. It's amazing that Michael Penix has played 12 games, and there seems to be a portion of the media and the fan base that's willing to give up on him. Kyle Pitts paid almost five full years, other than about eight games in the 2022 season, and was inconsistent as hell, and people want to bring him back.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I don't think he, I, and I don't think he, I all, but by what he said, Mike, you correct me if I'm wrong, or what you think, because I'm not going to tell you I'm wrong. I believe what I believe, but I don't feel in that statement where he said it's mandated that Michael Penix is a starter. Is a franchise quarterback for the next 5 years of this team. I just think he said he believes in him still.
I heard something different, but it's probably different than what you're saying. Some other folks are talking about. I pretty much, and this was my biggest takeaway, I heard that, like, I don't think we have another option. You know, like, that was my biggest takeaway. Like, and I think you said it in more or less words. Like, what do you want him to say? What do you expect him to say? There really isn't another option. We're still going to be paying Kirk Cousins some money for the next couple of years. Michael Penix, we don't have a first-round draft pick. Like, what do you think we're going to snap our fingers and suddenly land some kind of big free agent? Who is that? You know, there's not anybody else that we're going to point to right now. I did the math earlier. There is 9 teams of the 32 that have question marks at quarterback going into next season, if you include us in that conversation. Mm-hmm. The conversation around Tua, what is Tua for Miami right now with Mike McDaniel out of the picture? What is Kyler Murray out in Arizona with Jonathan Gannon being fired? There's a bunch of teams in a similar situation of saying, what do we have at the quarterback position? So if you think, oh, let's go sign Malik Willis, I got news for you. We can't afford him. We won't be able to afford him. Everybody else is thinking the same exact thing you are in this situation, including all the other teams that want head coaches. Yeah. So My takeaway was when he said that about Michael Penix, I believe he's a franchise quarterback. We don't really have a lot of options when it comes to the 2026 season, and that's what we need to believe right now.
Yeah.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I thought that that press conference could go a lot like it did when you fired Arthur.
Agreed.
Or it could go like it did yesterday. I loved the message. One message, the owner. Okay, the owner's message that this is our structure, this is what we're doing. Not to knock anybody else that's a part of it, right? But it's just that was what was needed. And look, he didn't do Arthur at times in the past has done stuff like the Falcon for Life thing, where you kind of put this onus that this is going to happen. He didn't do that. And I thought it was a real. I want to ask Josh what he thought.
I agree.
Josh Kendall.
Yeah, same.
Also yesterday, 92.9's Mike Conti got an exclusive interview with Arthur Blank. It is readily available for you to check out. It's up on the 92.9 Twitter, the Morning Shift Twitter. Mike, I think you retweeted it. I retweeted it. It's all over the place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so if you want to check that out, go find it on Twitter. And coming up, we do have Atlanta Falcons beat writer for The Athletic, Josh Kendall, will be joining us next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.